Welcome to Talking Social Studies. You are listening to episode number 28, Travel and Teaching, for April 12th, 2019.
I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Men will still say, this was our fighting power.
Welcome to Talking Social Studies. This is the podcast where we talk about social studies and education today. Here you'll find conversations about strategies, resources, ideas, and more, all designed to help today's social studies teachers impact their students. Welcome. I'm Scott Padway. I'm a Tech Tosa and former social studies teacher and avid and love of traveler out in California. And you can find me on Twitter at Scott Padway.
I'm Chris Heffernan. I'm a seventh grade global studies teacher at Jefferson Junior High in Naperville. I'm also a moderator of World Geo Chat on Tuesday nights. You can follow me on Twitter at cheffernan75, and you can follow the Talkin' Social Studies podcast on Twitter at Talkin', no G-S-S.
Hi, I'm Chris Hitchcock. I teach world history for a private online high school that is connected to Indiana University. And you can follow me on Twitter at chitch94. And you can follow or you can find our website at bit.ly/talkingss.
Well, one of my favorite topics, travel. And I feel like teachers, we have a unique opportunity with these chunks of time in some cases over the summer or these breaks. And there's just so many opportunities out there. So what are we going to talk about today?
I mean, I think the only thing we can talk about is teaching and traveling here. So, I think you're so right. There's just so many opportunities available to us because of the gift that we have of some vacation time and making the most of it and using it in a way that we can take back to our students, which is always, I feel like that's something as teachers, we just always end up doing that. Everything we do in life comes back to our students, but I think our travel really can take kids other places.
Yeah, and for some of our kids, they may travel a bit vicariously through us for students who may not have the means or other issues that may prevent them from being able to travel. And if we can do that and kind of share our experiences, bring things back for them, these real world experiences, and you know maybe even integrate some technology. By like sharing pictures, making tour builders, you know, those are tours and those kinds of things that where they can kind of experience it a bit in a way with us.
Yeah. I mean, and we have so much power now, like with what's available online and virtually to create experiences for kids and let them maybe see things that, you know, 10 years ago would have been just very different, you know, through virtual reality or just, you know, Google Expeditions and all sorts of things that are out there. But yeah, I mean, I think it's bringing back those rich experiences that you have and just in learning. I mean, depending on what content you're in, whether it's a world, a US, you know, a geo, there's stories to bring back and things that you can really bring to life, I think, through experiences traveling for both you and then obviously how that comes back to your kids. Either of you guys have any experience traveling with students?
So I get to be a chaperone on our eighth grade DC trip. And it's always interesting. It's 4 days that are action packed and nonstop. And, you know, you see the good things and you see the really bad things when you travel with students. And, you know, it's a great experience, except when you feel like you're babysitting. And you know, coming from the Midwest, like there's a part of me that wishes that we had like two different possible eighth grade trips for kids to take. The kids who want to go to DC and learn about like our country's history and government, like by all means, let's take that group there. And the kids who want to just mess around with friends, and I get it. I am not judging them at all, but like DC's not really the place to be messing around. So I'd rather they just went off to, you know, Wisconsin Dells and did a whole bunch of water slides for a couple of days.
And you're actually getting at something I want to talk about, the difference between I think like traveling and vacationing.
Yes, that's a really No, and like when you travel with students, like you actually are, it's not a vacation at all. Like it is not, there is no downtime. Like it is get up and go. You know, we've gone to, my school's gone to DC for decades, and I've gone, I think, 5 of the last 6 years with them. And like it is like going from 7 a.m. until 10:30 p.m. and I'm sure it's by design of like you're going to run these kids ragged to make sure there's no time for them to get into trouble.
But for sure.
it's an exhausting day, but it's also like, I got to say, it's some of the most rewarding things. And me being a seventh grade teacher and being able to go with some of my former students as they're finishing up eighth grade, like it was great last year when I went, and there was like a group that as we went through the museum, like they kept on texting me to say, we need you to come see this. We have so many questions about this. Or when we were at the African American Museum, they just stood by my side the entire time, knowing that I would have like a story to match up with some of the things that we were seeing there. And so,
that's so cool.
it's the greatest. I mean, and there are some kids who like, you know, finished the African American History Museum in 32 minutes, which, you know, isn't really possible. And then there's the other ones that like 3 hours after we're there, they're still on the first floor trying to figure out, well, how do I, what else should I be seeing here in the last 2 minutes of our trip? So I think, you know, when you travel with students, it's, you gotta have realistic expectations that there are going to be some kids that are there and are going to suck up every second of your time. And like in the best possible way, because they are like just loving every second of it. And then there's other kids who are just going to be a thorn in your side the entire time, because all they want to do is know, when are we going to eat? When are we going to shop? And when can we go back to the hotel?
Yeah. And you know, DC with students, right? The biggest problem with DC and students is that like everybody goes to DC at the same time with students, right? So it's like, if you're going to spring break in DC on this eighth grade trip, my wife and I actually were going through DC one year, and it happened to be around spring break, right? Cause we're off and we didn't have any students. We went down to the Smithsonian's and we're like, oh my God, run.
What have we done?
That was just kind of it. But yeah, you know, I took a group of kids down to Costa Rica, actually, and that was interesting. I didn't set that trip up. I kind of fell into it because I traveled a bit, and the teacher who arranged it had left, and so I kind of took over. But we went through a company called EF Tours, and you know, I think they did a really nice job for what it was. And teaching traveling with students is actually a really good way, though. It is a lot of babysitting, but just to get out. If you have never gone like on a real adventure like that, whether to Europe, whether to, you know, Costa Rica, I mean, they have stuff within the country. They have all sorts of things. But if you've never had an opportunity to actually do it, it's a really easy way to not only go for free, because I think that one chaperone goes for every 6 students that go, at least with them, and every other tour company, they do something, you know, similar. So it's a good way to go for free, but it's also a good way to just kind of, your job is really to babysit. You can just show up and there's accommodations, food is planned, everything is planned out for you, right? It really is a tour in a lot of senses. And so you don't need to know where you're going. You don't need to know how to navigate abroad. So it is kind of an interesting way to see it. But gosh, I got to tell you, when you're like crossing the streets in San Jose, Costa Rica, and kids aren't looking which ways the cars are coming from, they're like, there's a stop sign. And I'm like, have you seen one car stop at that stop sign yet? You know, and they're like, why not? I'm like, oh, they just don't want to dent their cars. That's the only reason why, you know, I mean, like, come on. So it is just, it's just a very different kind of thing, but there are a lot of really interesting opportunities, I think, in education that present themselves, even professional development opportunities. I know that there was a program through one of our county offices that took people on different like kind of history theme trips and stuff. So there's all sorts of, and then obviously conferences too, where you just talked about professional development. Maybe you can tag in some of those cool experiences within, you know, going to the next social studies conference or wherever it is that you want.
Yeah. Because NCSS does offer some cool tours, you know, that you can pay extra for usually to go. But I have not availed myself of any of those, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're just opportunities that, you know, that present themselves, whether there's something local to get out and go see, or whether it's something a little bit farther and larger. But I got to tell you, I think like personally traveling is impacted my life more than anything else, and just having an opportunity to see the world, and just how different people live. And, you know, we get so close-minded sometimes in our little bubbles and, you know, our communities, and just even within the United States, and like, just see if there's other ideas out there on not only, I mean, things like, you know, obviously governing and stuff, but just in terms of living and the way people use resources and the way people, you know, just exist in their daily lives, which I think is really kind of fascinating.
No, I totally agree with you. I was lucky enough to go to Cambodia in 2015. I got selected to be the teacher ambassador for Project Explorer. And Project Explorer, if you don't know what that is, it's a website, and basically they go around the world and record little, like, 3 to 5 minute episodes about different countries. And it's fascinating. So I got to go to Cambodia and, you know, be kind of like the teacher advisor that was there. And the timing that we went right around like the end of November. So I was there over Thanksgiving, which did not go over so well at home. I remember the most, like, I'm struggling to even find the words here. I remember the day that we went from the capital city of Phnom Penh to Siem Reap. Like, we drove through the most impoverished places I have ever seen in my life. Like, it was like, you know, kids that were wearing basically nothing more than rags, and houses that were made out of whatever scrap materials you could find. But every person that you saw was smiling and happy and, you know, waving to us. And that night when we got to our hotel, I was able to turn on CNN International, and it was happened to be Black Friday back in the United States. And so the dichotomy of, like, what I had seen in terms of, like, poverty versus, like, people literally, like, wrestling video games and TVs out of each other's hands back home. Like, it was such a fascinating thing to think about. Like, you know, I've just seen incredible poverty, but happiness versus incredible wealth and anger and competition. And, you know, it was such an amazing experience to come back home and tell my students, to tell my own family about, you know. And on a side note here, you know, having a class Instagram was like the greatest thing in the world for that trip, because I was able to, you know, every day I was uploading more and more pictures onto my class Instagram account. So that way my kids were able to see everything that was going on in my world. You know, and I was able to kind of like take them with me as I was on this tour, which I think is another, you know, really great advantage that we have today of, like, you know, because of social media, we can take our kids with us if we want to.
Yeah. And there's so many stories that you can bring back, like just in Cambodia. I mean, just the pure size of these temples that have existed, and really through the occupation of the Khmer Rouge. I mean, like, there's whatever course you're teaching, right? Like, you just have such cool pieces to bring back and try and connect kids into their content a little bit.
Oh, exactly. And that's the best part, is like, you pick up on just these little stories that you can use in class. And again, even if not every kid cares to hear every single story you have to tell them, some of them do. And some of them will be sitting on, like, you know, pins and needles, like waiting for you to finish the story because they're excited about whatever it is that you're bringing back to them.
Yeah, man, I got to tell you, Southeast Asia, I think is if I spent 6 weeks in Southeast Asia and loved every second of it. I think it's part of the coolest piece of the world. If you're into, I mean, there's so much history out there, but in addition to, like, if you're looking for a little vacation, it's, the cost of living out there is so low that it's just, it's easy to have, you know, put together a pretty nice trip with some beaches and some history, which I think is like the best of, I mean, that's my perfect world, right? When I can still kind of explore these just different civilizations. Like, I was in a part of Thailand actually on that trip, which up in Maesalong, which is this remote village. It was actually settled by the Chinese after World War II. But as China was becoming like, they just never came back, and they didn't want to go back to China. And so it's this part of Thailand that was just like completely Chinese, which is just fascinating. And there's so many little pockets like that. And just, again, like the way people are living and what they value, it's just fascinating. It's the only thing that you can get, I think, truly through travel, in a way that you, I don't know, there's just something about seeing these people and talking to people, and just really learning about their cultures and the way that they live.
No, I totally agree. And like, I'm going to say one more thing. I promise I won't talk any more about Cambodia. Like, it's so much perspective that you like, it changed my entire perspective, because during the entire time that I was there, I think it was just the four of us that I was with. We were the only white people I saw. And like, it changed my entire mindset about what it means to be the minority. It was only 2 weeks, but for those 2 weeks, like, I stuck out everywhere I went. And I thought about, like, you know, like the suburb that I live in is mostly white. And it made me think about, like, you know, what are my students who are people of color? Like, is this how they feel? Do they feel that people look at them differently because of that? Because I know I felt like everybody who saw me was looking at me and definitely passing some judgment. And it really kind of like opened up my mind to like, what are my own students encountering on a daily basis?
Yeah, I have not experienced that because my international travel has been so little, and where I have gone, it's been to Canada, the UK, and Berlin for like 36 hours. But my husband has traveled to Saudi Arabia, to Japan, to Jamaica, to other places, and he has definitely commented on that. You know, that I mean, he grew up in New York City too, so he grew up in a very like kind of diverse big city, but still that experience of, you know, especially like when he was in Japan, he's like literally people, because he's tall, he's like 6'4", and people, I mean, were definitely pointing him out, you know, because he's not Japanese, and then he's really tall. And so he talked about that. It's like, oh, that is a really unique experience, and really, it is perspective shifting, I think. Not having experienced it very much personally, but just hearing him talk about it in kind of a very personal way, that rings true for what I've heard from him.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting always kind of being that outsider in, because depending on where you are too, I mean, people see you as an opportunity, right? I mean, here's somebody who's been able to, you know, a rich white person traveling to here, and people really do see it as an opportunity. I mean, I remember being down in Peru and like, it was just heartbreaking. Like, everybody, you know, is so impoverished, and they just see you as this like fountain of wealth, and looking as a way to kind of help them. But, you know, I think that's where you can find a really beautiful balance too, of traveling places and exploring and having some of that kind of relaxation and fun. Like, if you like getting a massage, I mean, Southeast Asia, it's for $5-7, you know, I mean, they're incredibly cheap, right? But at the same time, you're at least throwing something back into people's pockets who, you know, otherwise might be making just a couple dollars a day, right. Which, you know, it's a hard balance, right, to find. But I think there's a lot of places you can do it. And so some of my biggest travel tips for people, you know, I've just been very fortunate. I started traveling heavily in 2004. I was in college and I was working summer camps, and so like we had several weeks after camp ended before we started again, and so I just started going places, and I went to Europe and then Peru and Nepal and all sorts of different stuff. And I would say, I think, you know, when you look at the locations you want to go, and when you talk about Europe, people say, oh, I want to go to the Louvre and I want to go see Paris and I want to go to London, and that's great. They're, I mean, amazing cities, right? But they're also really expensive cities. And if you head out to Eastern Europe, which I actually love, Tallinn, Estonia, I mean, I have a personal connection. That's where my grandmother's from. But it is one of the coolest cities, I think, in all of Europe. Eastern Europe, I personally think it's just cleaner. And you can spend a lot less going to somewhere like Prague than you will if you spend a few days in London. So just being cognizant of where you are. And if you want to go see London, maybe your flight out, you know, might lay over in London, and maybe you can have a night layover and then work your way somewhere else that's a little less expensive, just kind of stretch things, I think. I also am a big fan of credit card points. And if you can get those sign up bonuses, I follow the points guy. And every now and then, some of these credit cards, you know, I mean, I have to spend money in life. And so if I just, I might chase Sapphire card or whatever, whatever the bonus is. And really, if you don't spend a lot of money, the bonus is the big way to go. I just saw one from United. I think they're doing 60,000 miles now, and that's enough to get a round trip flight to Europe. And they have other...
That was the only way that we, all four of us, went, was that we have a credit card that has airline points on it, and the kids basically flew free. We paid for my ticket. My husband was going out for work anyway, so his was paid for. And paying for one person is a lot better than paying for four flights.
And sometimes, too, if you're using those award points, like, you can work them where they build in an extra layover. There's all sorts of different things. And they're more expensive sometimes, so if you can be a little more flexible on your days, leaving on a Wednesday instead of a Friday or whatever, you may find some better alternatives out there. But, you know, we all have different standards of travel, and it's really, like, what you're looking for and how much of an adventure you want. I mean, I always tell myself, I'm like, if I really go on a great trip, I come back and need a vacation. Right? Like, yep. If I've been bumming around, you know, Europe for a month with a backpack, like, I want to come back and go to Hawaii for a week. And so, and that's not realistic, right? Like, you're not going to fly from Europe to Hawaii. But on the way back, like, if you really wanted to do that, maybe you can find a spot and find that beach somewhere that you can just post up, or that little quaint town where you just, you know, if you get out of the big cities, the city, a city is a city to some extent. You know, you go to New York, you go to San Francisco, you go to London, you go to Tokyo. They all have different flavors. They're amazing. But when you get outside of the cities, that's where you get to see kind of what life is really like.
No, you're dead on that one. When I was in Colombia, like, I learned more about what Colombians were really like when I went to this town called, or I guess it's not a town, it's a city called Perea, than I ever did in Bogota. Like, Bogota is a very modern and metropolitan city. And Perea was a more working class, and it was in the heart of coffee country. And, like, it was, you're absolutely right. You don't see what the country's really like. And it's like saying, you know, if you think about, what is the United States really like? Is it really like New York City? No, most people don't live in New York City. Like, most of us live in, like, more suburban communities, or, you know, smaller cities, obviously, than New York. So I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's about getting away from some of those tourist places.
Yeah.
If I could just say, like, since we were talking about, like, how to pay for this, there's all sorts of, as teachers, there are so many travel programs that exist out there. And as the geography person, like, I've always kind of, like, tried to pay attention to ones that would take me outside of our country's borders. And so there's a couple that I know at least some stuff about. QFI is the Qatar Foundation International, and they are always looking to bring teachers to Qatar to, I think, just, you know, teach them about Qatari culture, the Middle East in general. So if you're ever looking for a trip to the Middle East, there's a program to look at.
Now, are you talking, Chris, are you talking about, like, you go for a couple weeks and you come back? Or are you going for, like, teaching jobs? Because I know that's a whole other world too, right?
Yeah, so I think these are mostly, like, I believe that with that one, and I think with all the ones I'm going to talk about here, it's mostly just, like, short-term things of, like, you spend, like, 2 or 3 weeks there, enough to, like, you know, whet your appetite, and maybe you do come back. And Germany has one called Transatlantic Outreach, which one of my colleagues went to a couple of years ago, and a couple of people I follow on Twitter have done it as well. And they cannot speak highly enough about it. And from what I'm able to gather, like, under the table, it's basically Germany trying to show people that there's more to Germany than World War II. And there's more than just the Berlin Wall. And so you go, and, like, from what my colleagues told me, like, you go and they take you around the country over the course of 3 weeks, and you see, you know, 4 or 5 different cities, and you experience different cultures. It's all teachers, and so you get to go and visit schools along the way. So that's always, you know, a fascinating thing. The one that I got to go to Colombia through was, it's called Teachers for Global Classrooms. It used to be done by the State Department, and now it's been taken over by Fulbright. And that was, you applied for it, and there was, like, a global learning, or a global education course that you took online. And then they pay you to, they give you a 3-week trip off to some other country. And so the year that I went, some people went to Indonesia, some people went to, I believe, Senegal or Ghana. I don't remember which one it was. Somebody went to, I think, Armenia, and our group got to go to Colombia. And it was, like, it was amazing, because you spend a couple days in the capital city or in whatever big city there is in that country, and then they send you out into the country in, like, teaching teams of 2 or 3, and you're assigned with a local teacher, and, you know, you spend, like, a week and a half working with students, which it's one of the most rewarding things in the world, because like to see how the other half lives and to realize that, like, you know, the problems that I would complain about at my school aren't right. even an option in some other places. Like it was pretty remarkable. And then one that I don't know much about at all, but I've heard amazing things about it, is Fund for Teachers. Two of my colleagues at my school applied for a $9,000 grant and won it. And they are planning on going this summer to Europe, and they want to take a look at the impact of Syrian refugees on Europe. And so they are planning on going around Eastern Europe and Germany and Denmark. And it's all funded through this program there. So there's travel opportunities out there. And I know there's also ones here in the States as well for like American history things. So it's all about just, you know, opening your eyes and taking a look and seeing what's actually out there.
Yeah. And then there's also international schools. Like there are people who are just looking for a change in life. And I got to tell you, the international school circuit, I had a friend whose career is done there. He was in Shanghai for a while. He's been in, currently he's in Turkey. I forget where he was before that. And I mean, it's a different lifestyle, but it's, you know, you kind of live with a group of expat teachers who are doing this. And a lot of times they take care of your kids going to the international schools, the great schools for your families. They pay for your travel home, all your cost of living. So there's a lot of cool ways if you really wanted to spend some time somewhere, of figuring out how to get there. But I wanted to share one other thing on the show notes, and I was just looking for it, but I have all these street views. That's what I do when I share things back, is I started taking these street views. And so I've just got some cool ones from different places around the world. But I think we got to wrap this up. But before we do, I thought we could just all, if there's one place or two places in the world that you guys want to go, where would it be?
I'll go. My three places I think I'd want to. Sorry about that. The three places I'd want to go: Iceland, just because I think it would be an amazing experience. South Africa.
I get a camper van. Rent a camper van.
In Iceland. That's a good travel tip right there. South Africa, just because of the history, like, you know, to see where Nelson Mandela was and to see the culture that exists there today. I think that'd be a great place. And then I think the one that as a family, like I really want to go to is Alaska. And my family is all in the national parks, and there are a ton of them up in Alaska. And I'd love to, you know, hit up some of those places and just see, you know, a whole different world than the rest of the United States.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And speaking of Iceland though, did you hear about WOW Airlines?
Is that the one that went out of business like overnight?
The one that just went out of business and stranded people. They were like running low cost flights. I actually flew them to Iceland and they weren't bad, but yeah, I just read, I don't know, about a month ago that they just overnight closed and people were stranded leaving to go on vacation, coming back from vacation, stranded on layovers.
Yeah, not a good way to go.
Right, not a good business plan.
Chris, what's on your list?
Well, Chris Hef said one of mine, which was South Africa, because when I was in grad school, I took two courses that were focused pretty much on South African history, and I just am fascinated by it. And my son read Born a Crime by Trevor Noah in last semester in English, and I read it too, and I just really want to go check some of these places out for myself. And then I would guess I'd like to go to China and see different parts of China. It's like what you guys were talking about earlier, how there's the big cities, but then there's all these other areas, you know, the rural areas and then, you know, the coastal versus inland. And I just think it would be fascinating to see like all the variety and just, I don't know. I just think China's fascinating and I would just like to go check it out. And then for a third, I would like to go somewhere. I mean, I think I'd like to go, I mean, this is probably kind of cliche. I'd like to go to Peru. I'd like to go to Machu Picchu and just see, or, you know, or really anywhere like with like Aztec, Inca or Maya kind of rule. And I know there's other, you know, civilizations and things to check out, but it's just, that's something I've always had to teach in world history or had the opportunity to teach and found fascinating, but have never been to any of the any of the places.
Those all sound like amazing spots.
Those are good choices.
I'm gonna tag on your trip to South Africa. Having spent some time in Tanzania and done the safari thing, like, it is just wild out there in the history. Because I know you had mentioned like Nelson Mandela, and going out to Robben Island and stuff would be, I think, really, really cool. And man, I've had the opportunity to go both Peru and China. China is just fascinating. Culturally, politically, socially, like, just overall, and it's huge. And Peru is amazing. And Machu Picchu is awesome, but I gotta say, like, if you can hike the Incan Trail in, you see so much just kind of the ruins out there that have been just untouched, as opposed to the real built up Machu Picchu. And you get there and there's just like tour buses of people. So it's almost like a Disneyland kind of thing. But, yeah. So if I have to pick three, I guess my three, I would head out to South Africa with you guys. I love Thailand. I want to go back to Thailand. And I would like to, I don't really have a location, but I'd kind of like to take a trip and explore some of the area, like Georgia, not like Georgia, Atlanta, but like between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, I think could be kind of fascinating. Just, I think some of those former Soviet nations just have such an interesting, like, I'm very fascinated by Cold War history. And I love the Baltic states. And so I just think that would be kind of an interesting twist on there. But
excellent.
It's summertime, so people should just go somewhere. Just plan something. Take some time. And it doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be big. But don't be afraid to just take that leap of faith and go for it.
I think that's really great advice. And like, one of the things that my son and I, like, are, my son's 14, like, our dream is one summer we're just going to go and start driving in a direction. And every time there's one of those things that says historical marker 1.5 miles this way, like, we're just going to go see it. And that's the thing, like, there's history all around you. There's opportunities to, like, learn more all around you. So just, yeah, keep the eyes open and see what's out there.
Yeah, those experiences, I mean, you know, I don't know. I met some guy once who told me that every dollar you spend traveling is the best dollar you can ever spend, right? I mean, material things, you know, I can tell you, I mean, the experiences and those memories that you'll make are just too much. But, hey, I don't think we picked something for episode 29. So
maybe it'll be a surprise.
Exactly.
Surprise. But this was fun. I could talk about this all day. But we better get out of here. So until next time.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great one.